Welcome, listeners. Not since 2016 has 5 of the top 11 lost on the same day.
Bloody Saturday.
Bama, Vols, victim of their own success, ill preparation, playing down to their opponents. We're going to break it down. Get in here with us right after a little word from head coach.
It doesn't feel like the last few games you all been able to establish any kind of tempo. Is there something going on that's keeping you all from being able to get to tempo? Have you been able to pinpoint it? And then, you know, kind of where do you feel like the struggles on offense the last couple of weeks have resided?
Yeah, you know, this past week, offensively, you look at the football game, so many self-inflicted wounds, you know, pre-snap penalties, playing penalties, miscommunication. So at times you're not playing on tempo. In the course of drives, when we've wanted to play with tempo, we've been able to do it and play efficiently. You know, DeSamp's big run, you know, there's multiple instances of it. At the end of the day, you got to play smart, effective football. You know, the prior week, I certainly slowed things down in the second half and played a different style just because of the flow of the football game and trying to play all three phases together. For us, I mean, we got to do the ordinary things at a really high level. Last week, we didn't do that very well. The week before that, we did a lot of things really well.
Josh,
Vols fans, the best fans in football. Rowdy, passionate, dedicated. And this is where Vol Nation comes to talk. Welcome to the hottest spot for all things Tennessee Vols. This is Tennessee Fan Talk, where the orange and white comes to life with a dash of humor, a sprinkle of wit, and a whole lot of southern charm, bringing you the latest updates, breaking news, and some good old-fashioned laughs along the way. We're the water cooler chat you wish you were having at the office, minus the boring stats. Whether you bleed orange or you're just dipping your toes into the world of Tennessee sports, this is for everybody. It's loud, it's proud, it's Tennessee Fan Talk. And now your hosts, Bird and the Duke.
Hey there, Tennessee fans. For the first time in SEC history, 2 top 5 teams lose to unranked opponents. Everybody's going to be gunning for the Vols and for Bama now.
Transfer portal.
Our Vols now number 8. Number 8. You know, I think we dropped 4 spots. Alabama dropped, was at 6 spots, so they still stay in front of us. A loss to Vandy. I guess what helps them, they did drop more places. They stay in front of us, but, you know, that Georgia win was a quality win, so I agree with that. Tennessee, you know, they open up with a defensive clinic in the first half, right? Not much more than that. They have a...
They played pretty well in defense, but Arkansas made some decisions that they could have been up higher, had more points on us than they did.
They get down in the red zone and they couldn't do it. Tennessee would, you know.
Sure, no, I agree. But, I mean, they did leave some points out there. They could have kicked a couple field goals on some fourth down opportunities that
they were aggressive, right. They thought that they were going to have to put up points in order to hang with us. Instead, they just played really good defense themselves and took advantage of what we had problems with. We did have a feel-good start to the third quarter. You know, you were like, okay, this is it. But in the end, like I've said, over.
And then we goose egged in the fourth.
And over is a tired defense. You get some people just out there screaming, well, if our defense. No, our defense played lights out. A tired defense cannot do it by themselves to, you know, for the entire game. As you heard there before the intro, people were asking Heupel why he played conservative against Oklahoma, and his answer continued past the bye week and then into Fayetteville. When your defense is doing what they're supposed to and they're winning the game, why do you risk it with a young quarterback. And you saw Nico's nerves on Saturday. You saw him being indecisive. You saw him throwing poor passes down at the feet. You saw him throwing into double coverage. And then, of course, as the Duke tells me earlier, and then his Milton move.
Yeah. I mean, it's still as old as time. Is the Vols come out flat after a bye week. It's happened my entire life playing Florida out of a bye week. No different with Arkansas. I mean, it's just the ghost of Philip Fulmer is still alive and well in Neyland.
With
that, I thought I was watching a game coached by Fulmer the whole time. Third and seven, run it up the middle.
Oh, dude,
I mean, it was.
I've already got that on here as a coaching decision. Offense, third and 11, run a play with Sampson. You know, he's only going on average minus the 53 yard long. His average is 4.1 per carry. It's third and 11. Let's run it right up the gut.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's in Heupel we trust, and I still believe that. I'm disappointed with the loss. Back in the day, I would have been mad. I'm just in my old age. I just get sad now. I just get sad. I'm so used to the BVS. It's okay. I do think there's a problem out there with our fan base that fires off tweets that and you know that are too that they don't need social media and they say some stupid stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. Obviously, there's all kinds of things that we can nitpick, and we're just a bunch of bums anyway. But people out there say already fire Josh Heupel, bench Nico. There's some morons out there.
Come on,
Does
he have the potential to be a Garantano? Maybe.
Everybody does. But take everyone's words. Garantano had some terrible coaching situations.
He did. And he
at least Nico theoretically is going to have a constant.
All right.
You know, he's going to have a consistent relationship.
Right.
He's not going to be changing new girlfriends or new, you know, whatever you want every year.
And it's with a quarterback. You know, that's the good thing. Yeah. He has that relationship with a former quarterback. With this game, a few questions emerge, hence the title, A Few Questions. So we want to ask those questions. Thank you for tuning in. Another episode of Tennessee Fan Talk. As always, you have the Duke. You've got Bird. You've got Tennessee Fan Talk. We appreciate the listens, appreciate the likes, follows, all the above. The question.
Is that still an intro? Was that still an intro?
Yeah, you know.
That was a long.
Yeah. See the change up. You never know when I'm going to throw the change up in the postseason, you know?
You're going to hit me with the Greg Maddux.
Although later on in his Tom years, Levin. his fastball averaged 85.
Different times, folks. Different times.
Questions. Is the gimmick over? Have the teams caught on? You look at the defensive strategy of Arkansas. One was hop around, move around, bring up people. You had no idea. They had no idea who was going to be coming in on them. And then they would run a 3-3-5, three on the line, three middle linebackers that could come up or back as they see fit, five in the back that kept the receivers from doing anything, anyone from getting open.
I feel like that's the defense like the Steelers that have ran forever. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm pretty sure.
In that's college, it seems you only need to play it against teams that like to move fast and spread you out. And it worked. You know, so there's question one. And I always refer to this with gimmick as the same thing with Javon Kearse, the freak, when he got into NFL and played for the Titans. The first year, he was lights out. After that, it was up.
I mean, I don't know if I would say the gimmick's over. I would have to say that maybe we've been bamboozled a little bit by the media and by the, you know, the coaching staff that we're not as deep as we think, as the fans think they are, especially on the offensive line, but in the receiving room. I feel like to have this offense really firing, you need some elite receivers.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, we've got some good ones. Right. But elite ones, we ain't got it. You're not going to have Bruce. You know, you're not going to have Bruce. He's a tough guy, but he's not going to be breaking for the, you know, the big bombs down the middle. Squirrel White, he's fast, but he's not tall.
Right.
I mean,
right.
And then we just haven't had anybody else step up to be that guy.
Right.
And then so that kind of, get you more one-dimensional. We're still not technically one-dimensional. I just don't think we're as deep in the receiver room with elite talent. I know it's young talent.
That is leading into the second question is, can we play straight-up football? And I'll say straight-up football. I'm talking like Nick Saban-style football where you're going to swap it up. You're going to try to give different looks. Sometimes you're going to go spread-wise. Sometimes you're going to stay tight. Sometimes you're going to, you know, can we play that? Can we play the, quote, traditional style offense?
So you're saying, like, get in the trenches down and dirty, poking eyes?
Can of corn. Can of corn's all I need. Can of corn, you know. The third question to that, and that they all play hand-in-hand with one another, is does Heupel need to stop calling the plays? Does he have an OC that can do it, or does he bring in an OC with a good record that can call plays? He is it the play calling? Does he have to dumb it down? Is Nico, you know, is he, like he said in his press conference, he's backing off, he's playing conservative, and is that because you have a freshman quarterback that they can be timid, they can be scared?
Freshman in air quotes, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been there a year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he should be a little ahead of schedule than what he is, if we're being honest.
I agree. And then again, what are we, his sixth game, right?
This is also true. I mean, that brings up the question, I think the hardest thing to find in the world is an athletic quarterback that can has it between the ears too.
Right.
You're going to find somebody that has it between the ears but doesn't have the athletic ability. Right. And then you're going to find Joe Milton, who's an athletic freak.
Right.
And just couldn't put it together.
Can't do it.
And maybe Nico's in the middle of that. I don't know. Like I said, he's still young. I'm not down on nothing. We lost to a SEC team on the road, a good quality SEC team.
Right.
That would be top three teams in any other conference than maybe the Big Ten.
Right.
In the nation. And maybe even in the Big Ten. So, trap game. Tennessee is notorious for falling for that trap more than most.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know if you knew this. I forgot to tell you earlier. But I didn't know if you knew that Ryan Williams is only 17 years old.
Thank you. The timing was impeccable. That was really good.
I didn't know if you knew that. Listeners, I didn't know if you knew that, but it's big news, breaking news. Ryan Williams is only 17 years old. The first 17-year-old to ever lose the Vanderbilt.
Right. Couple things to go over before, because you know we cannot have this week without talking about what everybody else is talking about between Vandy and Alabama, but to stay on Tennessee for just another minute.
Sure.
First
name of the show.
First 16 minutes. You know, we do, it's Tennessee fan talk, but we also want to talk about the other teams that will affect Tennessee. And Vandy, at the level that they played at, will affect Tennessee come December in Nashville.
They were doing the Lord's work, and then we laid an egg, like always. I mean, we had the chance.
First 16 minutes, Nico was sacked twice out of the four times he was sacked, and only 30 yards of offense in the first 16 minutes. That is the entire first quarter and a minute of the second. And I believe that 30 yards of offense was actually on that last play of the first quarter. Before that, I think they had five. Defense, of course, like we said, huge stops, provided two turnover on downs in the first half. Kept them in the game. Can't continue that. I do like, you know, people are questioning Heupel's play calling. I do like, as far as clock management went, a couple of things I didn't like. The whole indecisive on if they were going to kick the field goal, and there was 13 seconds on the clock, and he let it run down to 8 before he, you know, you could have got two plays out of that with your, quote, high-speed offense. Could have got two plays out, but instead you baffled around with your timeout. That stuff, sure, I understand questioning. The let them score so that we have a minute and 17 to come down and then we can win this with a touchdown, I loved.
I don't know. I don't know if I don't, no disrespect. I don't know if that's a Josh Heupel call or if that's a Tim Banks call. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let them in. At some point, someone on them headset said, let them in. Let them in. Let them in. Hey, don't stop. Yeah, let them in.
Sure. And I mean, if we spin a little bit, do we get to the point that either A, Heupel is bamboozling us, hoodooing us, one would say, to say that I've been playing conservatives? Is that out of necessary, or is that because he wants to? You know what I'm saying? Does he want to, or is it because it's necessary that he doesn't think maybe we have the ability to get firing?
Time will tell.
Only the Lord knows.
And he knows that the fan base will forgive him of a loss. When most of the SEC field has a loss now.
Everybody but Texas, right?
Yeah. Yep. I believe that's correct. And they still have some tough games ahead, right? And we'll talk about some of that coming up a little bit later in the show. But Tennessee will forgive, the fans will forgive him if you go stomp Florida next week.
I'm nervous, obviously.
Now I'm nervous. 2 weeks ago, I wasn't nervous.
Because do you think that maybe Heupel's sitting there thinking that I have a good enough team to be ultra conservative in these couple games that we quote unquote should win?
Right.
And then we throw the kitchen sink at Alabama, or Eco just can't run it yet. When I say run it,
run the offense.
Because for sure that last play of the game, somebody out of that timeout should have told Nico, whatever you do,
Don't run out of bounds.
Don't run out of bounds.
Fly around. Me, it would have been run around in the backfield as long as you can.
Now,
you
at
throw
the, same time,
the ball. You do not. You're not going to run it that far. Throw the ball.
I mean, he could have got lost in the moment. I think that they probably should have spun it as stay behind the line of scrimmage, because all he could have done at that moment was run anyway because he was past the line of scrimmage.
Right. Right.
Illegal forward pass.
Right.
So now was that conveyed? We'll never know.
Yeah.
Outside looking in, no, it wasn't. So that's on the coaching staff, right?
Right.
But if it was, then he got caught up in the moment, and I call that immaturity at the moment, which is expected.
Right. We talked about in the coaching decision. We talked about the 3rd and 11 run plays. Weird. On the defensive side of the ball, still 3 and 15. We've got them backed up in their end zone. We apply pressure the first time. You know, these guys are trying to rack up safeties, right? The really close rate. Then it goes to 3 and 15. They're backed up, and we don't apply pressure. And this weird zone that they were in, where they're allowing people to get receptions, and all it takes with that, as we saw plenty of time, is one missed tackle. And then they've added an extra 5 to 10 yards. I just don't know about that.
I think it's just
more aggressive.
Night game on the road in the SEC, prime time, loud spot. The state of Arkansas has nothing, I mean nothing, other than the Arkansas Razorbacks. I guess at the end of the day, we can say thank you, Alabama, for losing to Vanderbilt, because that takes some heat off of us.
It really
in the national eyes. Thank you, Mr. DeBoe.
As we go to commercial break, I want you to think about this. When was the last time Vandy was ranked?
It had to have been during Josh against Franklin was the coach, whatever his first name is.
They made it up to the 22nd spot in 2008.
2008?
Eight. 2008. Should they have, as we go to commercial break, should they have made the top 25 this week for knocking off number one? And the week, you know, that their loss to Mizzou was at that point was the number six, I believe, Mizzou, held them into two overtimes and only lost by a field goal.
Buddy, you want to talk about belt to ass?
Woo! I kind of see. My thing is, I think Vandy should have been. Just give it to him. Just give him number 25. Hell.
No, for a week. This ain't a charity.
Think about that as we go to commercial break and play whatever it is that's going to play for you.
Wherever you are, we are. And we are at TN Fan Talk. Would you like to be on the show? We'd love to have you. Find our link tree in the show description. No experience or equipment is needed. Now, back to Tennessee Fan Talk. Here's Bird and the Duke.
Hey, guys, welcome back to the show. And as you heard on the re-intro there, we do love having guests. If you are interested, please hit looking at the description. Hit that link tree, and you will see the Calendly app there. You can schedule the Sunday evening. I know we're a little late on some weeks because of, travel.
We have lives.
Travel, enjoyment of other sports and other things, but most of the time it's Sunday night, 8 o'clock. No special equipment is required if you do not have great internet or no computer, no devices, whatever. We can always just do a telephone call. So just go in and set yourself up on a week that of your choosing.
We'll even take in the enemy. Come on. We'll even take the enemy. Come on.
Oh, yeah. It's Bama fans.
That'd be more better than
welcome.
That
It'd be more better. More better, better. Before we jump in to the week of the, the October 12th of this weekend?
It's the Saturday. It's the second Saturday in October, not the third. The second
before we jump into that, we're going to talk about the first Saturday, number nine, at the time, Missouri. Wow. Fraudulent. And I know you love that. I know that you...
Oh, yeah, I'm glad Stinkiewicz got one to him. I'm glad somebody got him.
That A&M that started off, everyone's questioning them. They win, five in a row now?
Well, they have the quarterback back.
They're atop the SEC, 3-0, you know?
Connor Wegman was back, which made a big difference for A&M, I'm sure.
Huge game.
He's been hurt. He's been out the past three games.
Huge game. Kiffin.
They don't have an SEC loss, by the way. Texas A&M is at the top of the SEC. They're 3-0, folks.
Yep.
The ghost of Johnny Manziel.
Kiffin goes to South Carolina, lays waste.
My fault. Hand up to God. I called Carolina winning. did we all pick A&M?
I feel like it. I feel like it.
I feel like it'd have been a pretty cold day in hell for me to pick Stinkiewicz.
It hadn't been that cold.
No, it never is. Unfortunately,
Georgia is given gave their account to Auburn's demise for this year. Of course, number one falls to Vanderbilt. And
I was at the bar. We showed up early to get a table to watch the Tennessee game, and it got rowdy. We were downtown Nashville, of course. So,
oh yeah,
and I saw 12 Vanderbilt fans stormed it very politely down the stairs, not very, very cordially, very in order.
What was funny is how long it took them to take the goalpost down.
I was sitting there talking with my buddies, and every time I'm like, they're just building themselves up for heartbreak. I've seen it so many times in my shoes. And then, by God, they did.
And then they did.
Good for
not.
Them. Good for them.
Florida beats the, whatever they want to call
it. I'm shocked about that. I think I picked UCF.
I think we kind of all picked UCF.
Talk about a dud. Yeah, man. I thought everybody talking about UCF being really good.
I think it was just a bad start for them because Florida did not score the second half. Yeah.
Here's the question. We've already saved one coaching job for next year. Do we save another this weekend?
I said the exact same thing. I said, we just gave Pittman another
year. We probably gave
year.
Pittman another year. And he was on the Tennessee staff back in the day, I think, with Derek Dooley. So that tells you something.
Good night. Moving into October the 12th, the second week
of October. Second Saturday in October.
South Carolina going to Bryant-Denny Stadium. God, I feel so sorry for... No, I don't feel sorry for him.
No, I don't feel sorry because as much as I hate Stinkiewicz, I almost hate that gum. My mind just went...
Old Beamer.
Yeah, Beamer.
That's Sellers. God, he's got 500.
You know what the problem with Sellers is? He wore contacts. He needs to put the Rex specs back on.
He's got less than half of Milroe's yards.
Well, he's been out. He was out 2 weeks.
He was.
I was watching the game. At the house Saturday, and I'm like, he don't have his rec specs on. Oh, that's what people want to see. It puts asses in the seats. Put the specs back on. Get a NIL deal with Oakley or something. Come on.
Hey, did you know that the 17-year-old has 544 yards?
Ryan Williams is 17 years old, folks.
Somehow, Mizzou at now number 21.
They have the worst. They have the easiest schedule
plays
in America.
Plays UMass, who is 1-5.
And they haven't even, but they haven't played a conference game yet. So, and what conference UMass in, nobody knows.
Of course, the big 3:30 game is at the Cotton Bowl Stadium in Dallas, Texas. Is it the Red River Showdown or Shootout or?
I don't know. I can't remember. I feel like there was. I think it's called the Red River
Rivalry. It's not triple R's. Say that five times fast.
I don't know, but I feel like it used to be called the Red River Shootout, and then to be politically correct, they dropped the name. We would have to Google that.
the Red River something or another. Number one Texas, number 18 Oklahoma. What a quality win for Tennessee if Oklahoma beats Texas.
It is not, the Red River Rivalry.
Rivalry
is what it's called.
It used to be called the
Red River Shootout, but now we can't have anything with air pistols if you're watching or anything else. So that is dangerous. So we had to change the name because it provokes violence.
Oh my God, bless.
Well, I
do you think in a game like this is Arch coming back and playing this game?
Back. That's word on the street because they're coming off. Maybe they'll have some Tennessee.
What's the word on the street?
That Quinn Ewers is coming back to play.
To play that one.
He's back. You got to give it to him. That's his team. Manning is scary good.
A freak of nature. A freak of Manning nature, you have to say.
Sure. Looks like he got some athletic ability from his mama. He got it from his mama.
Passed down from his granddaddy. Mississippi State 1-4 traveling, 0-2 in the conference, traveling to Sanford Stadium in Athens, playing number 5, Georgia.
Move it along.
Yeah, we know who wins that game. Ole Miss, LSU getting something that they have not gotten yet this year, a night game, a big night game, Ole Miss.
I think they're on the side of fraudulent with Missouri. I think both Tigers are a little fraudulent.
You think so? You think so?
I think Ole Miss probably rolls them.
I kind of feel like LSU is going to win that game.
Well, I've never been to a night game.
And what they've been hyping up, and now it holds more hype than ever, Vanderbilt at Kentucky.
I mean, that's another one of them games that I'd pull for the devil for. I'd pull either one of them. Kind of like
both teams 3.
But I kind of hope Vanderbilt wins because I hate Kentucky more.
I hope Vanderbilt
wins. That's kind of like a lot of people out there are voting for Kamala because they hate Trump more. I don't like neither one of them. That's not me. That's not me just saying. But
I think Vanderbilt can handle Kentucky.
Buddy, I think that their season's over if they wanted it to be and it would still be a success. They could just not even play.
Yeah.
forfeit the rest of them, and they call it a success.
And we're good. And we're good.
I can only imagine what Kung Fu Saloon was like downtown Nashville Saturday with the 12 Kentucky or 12 Vanderbilt fans there celebrating. Because you know that Alabama had three quarters of that stadium full, and they're just sitting there in shock.
Oh, yeah. Now, they had more than three quarter. Good night.
So, question, hypothetically, just hypothetically speaking here.
Hypothetically.
Roles reversed, playing at me, but Vanderbilt was number one, and Alabama was unranked, but they're playing in Nashville. Does the Alabama crowd rush the field? Because there's more of them.
Absolutely not.
Wow, that would be funny.
Oh, rush the opposing team's field.
That's about the only stadium in America that could theoretically ever happen. It's because even if Vanderbilt was number one, they would only sell half of it out. So it's like a neutral site game.
Everyone goes there for their close-to-home game.
Yeah.
Unranked Florida. 7 o'clock Eastern, ESPN, 3-2, 1-1 in the conference. Tennessee, number 8, 4-1, 1-1 in the conference. They are checkering Neyland for this game.
Well, that's kind of the tradition now, I guess, is the checker of the Florida game because, you know, why not?
Got
I like it. Looks good on TV.
The duo quarterback for Florida worked really well their last game at UCF.
If you got two quarterbacks, you ain't got one.
Yes.
That's what Papaw always told me.
Yep. Looking at leaders in rushing and receiving and stuff, I mean, Tennessee's numbers are far better. And Florida has that tough schedule. This is going to be, you know, like we said, a little bit of battered ball syndrome. You worry about it. Can Tennessee beat them? Yes. You almost have to say that Tennessee's defense is going to have a score.
I think let's just go back to a net zero here.
Let's reset everything.
I think Heupel just needs to come out and beat the absolute brakes off of them if it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
That would for sure win everybody back. All the weirdos out there that have already straying in the woods that we've been in for years.
Right.
Because, you know, our program has been as good as Alabama over the last 80 years. Shut up. You know, but the BVS in me tells me otherwise. But that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that Heupel comes out and drops a 50 burger on these bums.
That'd be nice.
And it's 50-10.
That'd be 50, nice.
You know, whatever. I don't think that's going to happen, but I would love for that to happen.
That would be nice. So if we go through
35-21 Vols.
Oh,
go ahead. I went ahead and broke the rules.
Oh,
but I'm also not. There's still a chance that we lose four ball games this year if we don't get our crap together.
It's got right.
If we don't get our crap together, we're gonna slip up and lose to Kentucky. And I can't say my quote anymore, which I still will. But like I said, you know,
we could mess up and lose to Vanderbilt.
Now there's four things true in life. Death, taxes, Tennessee beats Kentucky in football, and Tennessee comes out flat as hell after the bye week.
Yep.
We're going to add that.
You have added a guarantee in life. Yeah. Most certainly.
A Garantano in life, yes. We've added a Garantano in life. A Tennessee Garantano.
A Tennessee Garantano for life. You know, I don't know. If you look at Florida, you know, they only put up 24 against UCF. You know, nothing, like I said earlier, nothing the second half. Mississippi State's fraudulent, so, you know, them hanging 45 on them. Only 20 points against A&M. Samford doesn't really, you know, that don't count. And then they only put 17 up against the U. So I like where you're at with that 21. Our defense would have to do something to get to that 35. You may have hit it right on. Offense is going to have to be more explosive. defense puts in a score, and that I think that's going to be the difference between the game. You know, I see it being won by a field goal unless the defense gets a score in there. For that reason, I'm going to go 28-21 Vols.
So another, you know, take a couple years off my life, give us a cigarette kind of game. Not was a good kind of cigarette after, you
and,
know.
And it's it could be at that big of a lead. You know, it could be a 21-10 style game or whatever, Tennessee, and then they kind of give up a little bit fourth quarter. I don't, you know.
I think that once me, this is me flying at 100,000 feet, having no idea what's going on. But is Heupel overthinking it? If you can put your foot on the, if you can kill somebody, torture them in a football game. You know what I'm saying? Kill them. we turned it back on Oklahoma. Just
do you know when the last time Tennessee did not score in the first half?
Was Butch Jones our head coach?
2019.
So no, he wasn't. But still.
2019.
Well, that's pretty recent compared to most schools, so whatever. It's going to take years and years for us to get over this, you know.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, and you know it, I text it. It's no secret. I send a text out every game before it starts that we're going to lose, and that's the BVS in me. Like, we need to have a BVS Anonymous. Hi, my name's Brad, and I have battered ball syndrome.
I think we should shoot that commercial.
A round table.
That would be hilarious. We should shoot that commercial. get some of the guys from SEC Shorts in it.
Yeah, shoot, but you got the money to do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't.
Charity case. They'll do it for us.
We got to go to Birmingham to get them to do it.
We're in agreement, Alabama over South Carolina, yeah. Mizzou.
There's not worth any other scores really thrown out there. Maybe that I think that Ole Miss might win big over LSU. I think LSU does not score more than 21 points. I think it's 14. I think they score two touchdowns and maybe makes a field goal in, but two touchdowns max for LSU.
Is Oklahoma capable of knocking off Texas?
No.
Not even with Hawkins Jr. mixing it up a little bit.
No, because their coach is Brent Venables. And he doesn't know what he's doing.
Well,
I think Texas, as bad as I hate to say it, them new sons of bitches, I think they're the best team in the SEC.
I agree.
Hey, I got one serious thing to say out there. Serious.
But they've only got one conference game.
Yeah, sure. Now, but before we leave, I've got one serious thing to say. This is no bull crap. To all the fans that are mad about the game, I'm from East Tennessee, Western Kentucky. They're in bad spots, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Just think about it.
Yep.
You know, turn down the hate. If you can donate, it's bad back home. So that's all I had to say. It's bad back home. Turn down the hate.
Turn it down.
Look at the little things in life.
Turn it down.
Because I know people back home that don't have houses anymore. So just think of, look at the big picture.
Yeah.
Jesus loves you.
Remember, half of America hates mean tweets.
I'd say three quarters.
You've been listening to Tennessee Fan Talk.
It's where the orange and white come to life. If it has anything to do with the Vols, we're talking about it. Thanks so much for listening to the show. We hope you've enjoyed it. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But wherever you are, we are. And we are at TN Fan Talk. Would you like to be on the show? We'd love to have you. Find our link tree in the show description. No experience or equipment is needed. Keep bleeding orange. And see you next time on Tennessee Fan Talk.
Go Vols.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.